The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we have made it to the final hour. Been a busy show. Ross Dellinger on the NIL, Bruce Feldman, a lot on the CFP. Heather's joined us at the beginning of the program, live from Chicago. Cole Kublik wraps it up. We'll get some college football conversation with Cole in just a moment. Cole, thank you for being here. It's great to have you. I hope the summer has gone well. Good afternoon.
Hey, doing well, Paul. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. Let's talk about the story everyone's talking about, and that's the CFP. We think this is where it's going. Don't know when, don't know how, but as a former player and now an SEC Network commentator, you host your own show every day on WJOX in Birmingham. What do you make out of it?
I think it's interesting, Paul, and I think if you're looking for the greater good and the health of your sport long term, I was never someone that thought that we should add to this. I thought four was good, and the reason that I thought four was good is that more seasons, when you finished everything and our national champion was crowned, there weren't many years that we went back and said, boy, I wish number five would have been in, or what if number six or seven would have had a shot at that? I really think they could have pushed through and cause some problems, or even won a national championship. We really never got that narrative. And I'm not someone for expanding just for the sake of inclusion, and a lot of the discussions have sort of felt that way. But when you really dive into the numbers and you see how few schools have gobbled up playoff berths over the last 6-8 years, it doesn't appear to be something that would be healthy for the sport long term. So I think we all knew expansion was going to be inevitable. In that case, I thought maybe 8 would be that number. Now we hear 12, and I look at it like this, Paul. And you did radio in Birmingham, so you know what it was like. I remember in 2009 hearing sports talk radio in the state of Alabama talk about what it was like to get BCS championship game tickets and how they were going for $2,000 and $3,000 a pop, and nobody could find them, and where would you get them, and online, and going up there and trying to – there was some sort of raffle that you could try to get them, a lottery. And then when Auburn went in 2010, it was the same thing. You know, Upper Deck, $1,500. There were no tickets available. They were sold out immediately. I haven't heard any of those conversations the last few years, really about the SEC championship game or a college football playoff game or a college football playoff championship game. A lot of that newness and hunger has sort of worn off. Well, what if you were able to allow more of college football's fan base to be able to experience some of those things? I think it could help with the growth of the sport. I think it could help with the popularity of the sport. And, Paul, I've also been somebody who has said, I think it would diminish the regular season. However, taking a step back, trying to have an open mind, when you think about the fact that, I mean, what do we usually get to, Paul? The end of September, the beginning of October, and we know what six teams are probably going to have a chance to be in. It's going to come down to these two or three games. Maybe we get an upset and Team 7 might have a shot. Okay, good. We've already got it figured out. Well, now we could be looking at the beginning of November, and there might be 20, 25 teams with a legitimate chance to play their way into the college football playoff. I think that brings inherent value to the sport. And if you're thinking about overall growth and health of your sport long term, there's a good chance that could end up being better. Do I think a lot of those teams are going to actually go on and win national championships? No, I don't. Look at some of the lopsided games we've already had. I think what could make it exciting, though, is if we got a Lamar Jackson Louisville team, a Johnny Manziel Texas A&M team, where you had a guy that nobody really ever had an answer for that could go in, get hot for 2-3 games, and all of a sudden now cause some real problems. And that could build a lot of excitement and bring a lot of new energy to the college football playoff. The model that we've heard, the model that's been described, the one thing that I do not like, Paul, are the first round buys for the top seeds, because our whole complaint in all of this is how much easier it seems to be for 4, 5, 6 teams to get into and win a national championship every year, and now you're essentially giving them one more step closer in a new system to be able to be the team in a better spot to go on to win a national championship.
Cole, you've played the game, obviously, captain at Auburn. You're on the field for the SEC Network, so you know players better than most of us. So what are your thoughts on extending the season for the players?
I think that player safety is a narrative that's real and something that we should always pay attention to. But I think, similar to name, image, likeness, Paul, we only want to deliver this message from a one-sided discussion, and that is that football is very dangerous. And we don't really want to have a conversation about, what a lot of these equipment companies have done to make the game safer, what a lot of these equipment managers are doing at a lot of these schools. I know Dana Marquez at Auburn is a guy that I talk to on a weekly basis during the season just to get updates about things that he's doing to help protect players, new trends in technology that he's seeing down the road that may be able to help the game be safer. We don't have those conversations, but I do think player safety is real. We have to protect players. We've taken extra measures to try to make the game safer and try to continue to make it safer on an annual basis. As far as the players are concerned, I would have played 125 games in a season if you wanted me to, Paul. There was nothing better than playing in a college football game. As a college football player, it literally does not get better than game day. There's nothing better than that. And that includes going on the road to Gainesville or Knoxville or Baton Rouge. I mean, I played in Baton Rouge at night in overtime. That was pretty damn cool. I played in Knoxville, Tennessee the year after they won a national championship. We got our teeth kicked in, but that's the loudest I've ever heard a college football stadium in my life. I played in the Swamp where that student section was literally 2 feet behind me, calling all of us out by name in between every single series, and I loved every second of it. So I don't think that many players, unless they hear it from other people, say in the media or other people around the game, outside of the game, that have a problem with it, are going to be mad about playing more football. We love playing football. That's why we got into this. That's why we did this. So to have more opportunities to prove your worth, be it as a college football player, potentially an NFL player, or just what your stature is going to be for your school 20, 30, 50 years from now, or what you can help your team do in a certain season, I don't see a lot of guys standing up saying, you know what, Paul, I could do 13, but 15, man, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can handle it. And it's funny how that whole finals discussion has just been completely thrown out. It used to be, well, we can't make them play during finals. Well, obviously, especially now during COVID with everything that was done online, I think we have different ways that we can work this out. But I don't think you're going to get a lot of current football players that are coming out saying, no, too many games. Please don't give us an opportunity to get into the playoff and play for a national championship.
Cole Kubelik with us. Cole, before you go, I want to talk about the upcoming season. And we obsess, as everyone does, about Alabama and Georgia, A&M. We all know who the usual suspects are. But I'm curious about your thoughts in terms of schools maybe that are not getting much attention that have a chance for really, you know, breakout year versus expectations, surprise teams. Who are you paying attention to right now?
I think in the SEC, Paul, one team in the West that nobody's talking about is Mississippi State. And if you go back and take a really good look at when the youth was injected into that offense and then what they did after that, I really do believe that this is a chance that has to extend and a team that can maybe exceed expectations. Quarterback Will Rogers wasn't really the guy until late in the season, and he seemed to have a better grasp on it as the season went on. Well, they add Jack Abraham from Southern Miss, who has experience, so now you still have depth at quarterback, even though your initial starter last year moves on. Jaquavius Marks had he went for over 75 yards in two of his last three games. Both of his touchdowns came in the last three games. Jaden Wally had three of his 100-yard receiving games in the last five games of the year. So a lot of that production came late. And there were some offensive line deficiencies just as how it was managed that I think Coach Leach and company are going to sort of go back to the drawing board and get figured out and understand that they can't operate that way against SEC defenses, and it will make life much easier on them this year. And no one gives Zach Arnett enough credit for what he did with that defense last year. I know they lose the heart and soul of that defense with Marquis Spencer being gone and Errol Thompson being gone in the middle of that defense. Kobe Jones going to be gone, but they still have a lot of guys that played a lot of football. I think Mississippi State can extend, and the West is going to be up for grabs because LSU is going to be better. Ole Miss is still going to be extremely dangerous. A&M, I don't think, is going to drop off very far, and Alabama is the obvious front runner. In the East, I would go Kentucky, and I think a lot of it comes down to quarterback. They're going to have the best offensive line in the league entering the season. Chris Rodriguez might be the most underrated tailback in all of college football. And what's the problem been for the Wildcats? Offensively, it's been wide receiver. They haven't been explosive. They haven't been able to separate. And they haven't had a real game breaker there. Well, now you bring in a transfer in Wandale Robinson. You bring in a transfer from Michigan State. And you have quarterbacks, multiple quarterbacks, be it Joey Gatewood, Will Levis, or Bo Allen, that seemingly are going to be able to get the ball down the field in a little bit more of an efficient way. Liam Cohen comes in as the offensive coordinator. He'll bring some NFL flavor to that passing game and passing scheme. And they got almost everybody back on defense. I mean, six of the front seven are back. The entire D-line is back. And speaking of guys who don't get enough credit, Brad White has done an amazing job with the Kentucky defense the last few years. And I just love the way Mark Stoops is building it. They can still be a physical, lunch-pail football team that adds a little bit more of a dynamic passing game because of the new coaching staff that's coming in and because of some of the new personnel that they've been able to bring in. They've done a great job in the portal. Mark Stoops gets it. He knows that you're going to have to not only fill gaps but also get better through the portal. And I think Kentucky has done that. And with everybody other than Georgia, maybe not going backwards in the East, Paul, but not looking like they're taking a big step forward. I mean, I think Kentucky could take a step forward and Missouri could take a step forward. I don't have a ton of confidence that any other team not named Georgia in the East is going to be a lot better than they were last year. So there could be a lot of wins sitting there waiting for a team like Kentucky.
Who are you most concerned about in the SEC for the 2021 season?
As far as maybe going backwards that we're not anticipating?
Right.
Probably Auburn. I love Brian Harsin. I love his attitude. I love his demeanor. I love what he's doing with the team. He's had some big wins in the portal, like Donovan Kaufman from Vanderbilt, a guy that coaching staff raved about. But, Paul, I have major concerns about that offensive line. I love Tank Bigsby. I mean, there are not many tailbacks in college football that are more fun to watch than that young man. I know they want to utilize the tight end, and they have some bodies there, but they don't have a lot of guys that have been very productive. They are extremely young at wide receiver. They don't have a receiver that has more than 200 career receiving yards or than seven career catches and more than two touchdown receptions in their entire career that returns on that Auburn roster. Offensive line and receiver was where I thought they needed to get some wins in the portal. And even though Coach Harsin's had some success, he wasn't able to get a lot of bodies at those two positions that I thought could help. And it's going to be hard for me to believe that Bo Nix takes big steps until I see it. Bo Nix has got to accept coaching. I think that's his biggest flaw. If he accepts, I mean, think about the quarterback brain trust that you now have at Auburn. Brian Harsin played it, coached it, coordinated offense. Bobo played it, coached it, coordinated it, and was a head coach. Those guys are, and you bring in your offensive coordinator from Boise as an analyst, they got guys that can teach you how to play quarterback and help you get better. If Bo Nix accepts that coaching, he has a chance to take a step. And I do think T.J. Finley was a massive addition to that football team. Number one, to push Bo Nix. And I think Brian Harsin wants that. I know Mike Bobo wants that. They want the competition. And T.J. Finley didn't get a spring practice, Paul. He hadn't had a ton of time as the guy as a college football quarterback. So he might be able to come in and take some big steps, but you're still relying on someone without a ton of experience. So big question marks in big places. The girth of the defensive line concerns me a little bit. Love the linebackers. Plenty of numbers in the secondary. But with that schedule, playing in the West and having to go to Penn State, that's asking a lot for a first-year head coach that has some number deficiency issues with his roster heading into season one.
Fantastic, as always, from Cole Kubrick from the SEC Network. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. Much more to come here as we wrap things up on a Thursday afternoon. Your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back here on a Thursday afternoon. Corky is up next in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going, man? I just want you to know you're the best.
Thank you so much.
But I really got a beef with this college football and Nick Saban, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I'm really tired of hearing about people saying he's the best coach. He has the best players. If he go to Vanderbilt with that team, will he be the best coach? No. He's the best manipulator to get the best players on his team. Agree or not agree?
Well, Corky, I ran into a pro football player the other day, and we were having a conversation about Trevor Lawrence, and he said similar things. He said, "Hey, this guy's a defensive player, by the way." He said, "I could have quarterbacked Clemson to the Final Four last year with those players around." Now, I say that as a point of reference. You are correct. I'm not going to say you're wrong, and I also think it's easy for me to respond by saying, sure, Nick Saban recruited those players, but it is his system, it is his program that attracts these players. And you know, you can't fault the guy for being the most successful coach by saying, well, he's got all the players.
True.
I will say one more thing. Steve Spurrier, I ran into Spurrier one time, and he said, how does Nick Saban ever lose a game? Same point you're trying to make, but I wanted to say, well, Steve, you know, maybe you ought to try recruiting as hard as Nick Saban.
True.
So, I just can't buy your argument that, you know, because he has all the players, he's successful. There's a difference between having a lot of great players and winning championships.
Yeah. True. Mama tell you something else, though. He'll have the best coaches. Somebody's ex-head coach will be his coach. There won't be no bum coach out of high school like we have at Notre Dame or something like that. He gets the best. He's surrounded by the best, so he should be the best every year.
Well,
like when they beat Notre Dame last year, and everybody was telling me, Notre Dame don't even belong there. Guess what? We was the fourth best team. Yeah, we couldn't beat them, but nobody else could either. Look how bad they did Ohio State, and you said they belong there. They beat them worse than they beat us.
He's
like Jimmy Johnson in NASCAR. The dude is awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. I wish he was at Notre Dame, but, of course, we couldn't take him because we can't get no illegal players or players that can't do something. Our coach is just a dumbass. He is. He should be gone. He's the worst coach in college football.
You're talking about Brian Kelly?
Brian Kelly. Yes, he is. And everybody can push him up and say he's all this. The dude chokes every game against anybody big. He can't beat a big team at all. This stuff when we beat Clemson last year without Trevor Lawrence, everybody knew when we played him again what was going to happen. And it's going to happen every year. This dude is just the type to win 10 games, make the alumni happy, and that's cool. I'm not an alumni, but I'm not happy with him at all. I would take Vanderbilt coach who won no games over him this year, and I'm being honest.
Well, Corky, thank you for the call. I don't even know how to respond to that, but I appreciate it. I tell you what, I do know how to respond. Let me correct myself by saying, hello, Cat Daddy.
Big Paul, you looking good, sounding good. Look at here. Let me tell you something. Them Georgia Bulldogs are going to eat Clemson Tigers up like they was an all-Chinese food buffet. Hey, no, Clemson got three new offensive linemen going in there, and all three of them are bow-legged. And I ain't never seen an offensive lineman that was bow-legged that was worth a darn. They got that new quarterback back there, but he ain't felt no pressure of a big game. And going up there to the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl to play Georgia, he can't handle that big stage. Georgia wins 35-20.
That's quite a score there. Hey, thank you, Cat Daddy. Graham is up next, California. How are you, Graham?
I'm good. Yeah, so the whole 12-team, the possibility of the 12-team format, I like it mainly because it'll give a lot more teams that could get in that should get in by, like, Pac-12 teams, because they never, no Pac-12 teams ever have a chance unless it's a remarkably good one.
Graham, who is your team?
On the West Coast, I guess I root for USC when on the West Coast here, and Stanford a little bit, but whenever they have a good team, it's always like either the Rose Bowl, and that's what I'm at.
Do you live in Southern California?
Yes.
Wow, and you're how old?
11.
Hmm.
So, I don't know, I would like the 12-team format just because it would, and then also, there are really only six or seven teams that have a chance at the start of the season.
And, hey, Graham, do you go to school, because you sound like you ought to be, like, on ESPN Today. I mean, I really think you're quite analytical.
Thank you. And then I also give small schools in that aren't maybe in a major conference like the ACC or the SEC.
Okay.
Or even the Pac-12.
So what, Graham, hold on a second. 11 years old, that would be what? Fifth grade, sixth grade?
Yes. Okay.
Do you have any, what are you thinking about 6-7 years from now when you go to college? You have any idea?
No, I think that Michigan would be cool because it's like a big football team.
Right.
That's one that looks.
Are
fun.
You interested in doing what you're doing now, and that's analyzing college football teams?
Yeah, that could be fun.
Okay, we may have an opening. I'm just trying to get you before anybody else can. I mean, we'd like to sign you to a contract now, so we don't lose you later. Well, I tell you what, all kidding aside, you're really a bright young man. I appreciate your analysis.
Thank you.
And so who you got this year? Who's going to win it all?
I think that Alabama will probably do it because they have the best players every year. But then, maybe there's a chance that Clemson, they've got a chance. They're always in it. I think Georgia's looking pretty good. And then I think Notre Dame, they won't really be in the top four, mainly because they lost Book. They lost a couple of good offensive players because they're all seniors last year, or they went pro. So, I don't know. I think that the teams that are looking pretty good are Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson. A&M, they might have a chance to sneak into the top four.
I'll tell you what, Graham. I want you to call us back here a little closer to the season. We'll see how your predictions hold up. Thank you for the call, though. You take care of yourself. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. 30 minutes remaining, and we will talk to you in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
right now.
Okay. And we welcome all of you back. The final 30 minutes of the program. We appreciate you being here. Let's get some more phone calls in here. And Ron is up next. Hey, Ron, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Listen, it is an honor and a privilege to speak to you, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate all you've done for college football all these years. You're the man. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
And my question regards the college football playoff committee. I am very concerned that, you know, when you've got presidents and you've got secretaries of state and you've got athletic directors and you've got coaches, what I'm concerned is I don't know who's representing the fans, the guys out there and the women out there, the men and women who are tailgating and out there and buying the tickets and supporting all the teams. I would like to ask you, if I can get some things going and we can work really hard and get this done, would you be willing to be on the college playoff committee? Because I don't know anybody else in America that could represent all of college football in a fair and objective and analytic manner than you. You are the best. Would you be willing to be on that committee? Because they need some help. They need somebody like you representing the common everyday fan.
Well, Ron, first of all, I think one of your points is correct. I don't think there's representation. And I saw today they put another former player on there who's a big corporate executive. And quite frankly, I don't know him, and I'm sure he's qualified. But that's not what we're talking about here. I think we need a representative of – that's why we said that the other day. As far as whether I would do it, no, I would not do it. And, to do it would preclude me from doing what I'm doing right now. And I can tell you, I would much rather talk to you and communicate with college football fans every day than at the most important time of the year for all of us be stuck in a room with 12 other people watching football games all weekend on my iPad and then spending the next 48 hours talking about it. I mean, maybe at another point in my life, it would be interesting. And I do think they need representation of people that really, understand both sides of the medium. But there's no way I would. And by the way, there's no way I would. They would pick me. They would. Jim Harbaugh would make sure that would not happen.
Well, everybody out here, your listeners, your fans, all of us really appreciate you and know that you would be the person that would
represent us. Ron, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, though, that I've always argued about, and nobody ever listens to this. I do believe very strongly that there needs to be more transparency. And what I mean by that is I think they should let a Heather Dinich or somebody like that, be inside that room with the understanding that the confidences won't be violated, but we really do need to know what goes on in there, and we don't right now. We are, and this is not the way I was brought up in the journalism world. People that have taken other people's word for it have seen empires fallen and millions of people killed, and we've been misled time and time again. I'm not trying to compare those things to college football, but I do think there ought to be some checks and balances, and I think that we ought to be able to know more about what happens in those rooms.
Paul, that's another good example. Everything you say is right on target. I mean, you are on target. I don't hear anybody else in the nation in terms of the public media talking about like the way you talk. I mean, you're right. But I mean, your voice needs to be stronger, and I just wish you had more influence.
Well, I do too. And frankly, I will tell you in full disclosure, some of the comments I've made in the past about the CFP have probably hurt me because there are people that don't want to hear that. But I'm not being cynical about anything. I'm trying to be
on target, and don't ever forget that you are the man, and you know what you're doing, and you know what you're saying. And thank you very much. The fans out here appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're going to a break here, and I'm hoping we come back there. In one of our locales where our directors are sitting, there is an issue that could preclude us from continuing to be seen. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. Hopefully, it's a false alarm, but we have to go to a break now per protocol. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.